Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I love the Catholic Church. While the rest of the world has moved on from Christmas, they've already started preparing for Valentine's Day, the Catholics are still celebrating. It's a wonderful, actually true mark of the Catholic faith that while the Church understands the brokenness of humanity, it also truly recognizes the gift of salvation. You'll realize throughout the whole liturgical calendar, there's celebration after celebration after celebration, and this beautiful season of Christmas is elongated to invite the faithful to rejoice. And so all of you kids out there, you can still ask your parents for more presents. This past weekend, I was celebrating a wedding up in Petoskey for the first match made at Newman since I've been a chaplain there. So Tanner and Michelle, they started dating here at the Newman Center. They graduated about 2 years ago. Tanner went up to live back in Petoskey, and Michelle went to continue to grad school down in Indiana. And every 2 weeks, or about once a month, Tanner would take this long journey from Petoskey all the way through Michigan into Indiana, about 6-7 hours, to see Michelle. And he did this time and time again. Eventually, Tanner proposed to Michelle. And after he did so, he picked up everything, he got a job in Indiana, and he moved down there and got an apartment there. And just recently, this past Saturday, the two of them were married. How far are you willing to journey in order to be with what you love the most? How far are you willing to journey to be with the one you love the most? This Christmas season, we've entered into truly a sublime and humbling truth that the God who created all things left in a real way his very self. In this sort of ecstasy, he exited out of himself, the second person of the Trinity, leaving that Trinity to do what? To journey to humanity, to become one with humanity. This Christmas season, we're meant to reflect on this beautiful, pulsating love of God. That God, in a wild love, comes to meet man. And then in the life of Christ, as we journey through ordinary time and Jesus reveals the heart of the Father fully to us, we begin to recognize that God didn't just come to meet humanity, but God actually goes to the furthest extent that humanity could leave God. We profess in the Creed that Jesus descended into hell, that truly in his death, in his crucifixion, he goes to the furthest place in my heart that I leave God. And why does he go there? In order to draw us back to himself. How far are you willing to journey to be with what you love the most? This Sunday we celebrate Epiphany Sunday. And we hear that wonderful historical story of the three wise men, the Magi from the East. The Magi were, to our time, astronomers. They surveyed the night sky, but with a religious purpose. They looked up to the heavens to discern what were the gods doing. At the time of Christ, there was a prophecy of the Gentiles, not of the Jews, that at the rising of a great star, there would come a king. This comes from the Gentiles. It's kind of beautiful to think that even within the world outside of the Jews, God was already preparing the full humanity to be drawn into him. Anyways, these Magi see the rising of the star, and they set out. I think this story sometimes can become too fluffy or sentimental. You know, we hear about the three kings going over field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. And we forget to realize that to travel this type of distance was truly a death sentence at the time of Christ. Think even a couple hundred years ago with the great migration westward in the United States. people getting in their horse and buggy and their carriages and heading out west. It wasn't uncommon that someone from their family, from their group, would die. At the time of Christ, people would write their wills before setting out on such a journey. And so for these three magi to set out this great distance from the east, they were doing nothing less than staking their life on this. And why? Because they wanted to be with what they loved the most. I live here at St. Paul's, just across the way up in the rectory. And it literally takes me two flights of stairs down and about maybe 50 yards for me to enter into the chapel. Every morning, I begin my day by doing morning prayer. And each morning, I'm tempted to crawl out of my bed, make some coffee, and sit in my nice little sofa chair to do my morning prayer. But literally 50 yards from that chair is the King of Kings. 50 yards from that nice, comfortable sofa chair, literally, is God incarnate, body, blood, soul, and divinity right here. And sometimes I have to admit that that journey seems too long to make. Sometimes I think the real journey, though, that we have to undergo is not a physical journey, but an interior one. We've all heard the saying that the greatest distance is the distance between the head and the heart. That to take what I know to be true, the truths of our faith, God is real, God's in the Blessed Sacrament, my baptism is real. Sometimes it's hard to take the truths of the faith, what I know to be true, and to move from an intellectual knowledge to a deep interior knowledge of the heart, which then convicts me to move, to change. This upcoming Thursday, we begin the classes for RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, so those that will be entering into the Catholic Church. And we have 15 individuals this year that are going to enter into the church. And I always am edified by that decision. To discern and decide that I'm going to face all my preconceived ideas, notions, and beliefs about the Christian faith, to be challenged by those beliefs, and to ultimately make an ascent to believe the Catholic faith is no small journey. I often question myself, if I wasn't Catholic, would I ever have converted? I think that's an important question for us Catholics that just grew up in the faith. If I wasn't Catholic, would I ever have converted? Would I have questioned my faith? Would I have really struggled with belief, pressed into it, surveyed other belief systems to understand what is ultimately true? Every class, or I begin every class of RCIA, or the first class, by saying something to this effect. There is only one right reason to become Catholic. Not for your spouse, not for your kids, not because you like the music at this church, not because you like the community here. There's only one right reason to become Catholic. And that's because you have discerned that what the Catholic Church professes to be divinely revealed and true when it comes to faith and morals is ultimately true. Not subjectively true, not true just because I believe it to be so, and it doesn't matter what other people believe. Objectively true. True whether you believe it or not. And only, and I challenge them this, only when you come to that point should you say, I want to become Catholic. Of course, The way we get there is a myriad and as different as every single human person that makes their journey to the Catholic faith. But to stand up and say, I want to be Catholic, is saying nothing less than what the Catholic Church proposes to be true is objectively true. That is no small journey. That's a journey that challenges my way of thinking, my preconceived ideas, my notions about the faith. How beautiful it is that 15 people from this parish are willing to make that journey. How far are you willing to go to be with what you love the most? If you notice, I phrased that question by saying, how far are you willing to go to be with what you love the most? I didn't say, how far are you willing to go to be with God? Because oftentimes, what we love the most, if we're honest with ourselves, is not God. I know many of you during this Christmas season have got up, packed up, and journeyed far to see loved ones. Loved ones have come to see you. You went out to go shopping. Maybe late night you got up to get some Taco Bell. Something within you inspired you to move. What was it? You loved it. You wanted it. That late night craving for McDonald's gets you up out of bed and gets you moving. The question I think you and I should all ask ourselves is, do we do the same for Christ? Am I willing to do the same for Christ? I think the three magi, who are historical figures, they're not a story. They're historical figures. And I can't wait to meet them in heaven. They stand as a beautiful example of people willing to sacrifice in order to be with what they love the most. The story ends with the three kings emptying themselves of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, literally giving themselves completely to Christ. And we hear lastly in the story that they returned by a different way. The three magi were not Israelites. They weren't ones who understood the Old Testament, the prophecies that came before Christ. They were Gentiles, completely outside of that framework and understanding. And what's powerful about the magi, wise men, wonderful wise men from the East, is that they were willing to be changed. They were willing to get up, to move beyond themselves, and to be changed. In a few moments, as you come and you journey to the Lord, literally in the Blessed Sacrament, and in a powerful way, our Lord has already journeyed to us, literally leaving heaven to be upon this altar. And as we commune with him in that most holy communion, I invite you to simply reflect on a few questions. What do I love the most? How far am I willing to journey to be with it? And if it's not God, and as you commune with God, maybe simply ask the Lord, Lord, change my heart to love you the most and make it willing to journey over field and fountain, moor and mountain to be with you.